Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Daniel Foster of National Review Online today in place of Jim Garrity, who's on jury duty. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Dan, hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. And
I did. Thanks. I hope you did, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I should say that I heard that Garrity did not make jury today, so he will be back tomorrow.
I'm sure he's bummed about that.
Yeah. He wasn't surprised, I don't think.
Over the weekend, Dan, in addition to a lot of wonderful ceremonies honoring those who have served our nation, the political news continues as well. What we've seen from the Romney campaign in terms of message discipline is continuing. We've seen both halves of his first day, and none of that included the inaugural balls or anything, so he's going to be very busy on January 20th if he gets elected. And now the campaign is out with a pretty tough ad that's a little over a minute long. We've cut it up into two different smaller pieces here. This is just excerpts of it, talking about how the Obama administration has implemented this green agenda, but it's not as innocent as people think because, first of all, a lot of these things have cost a ton of taxpayer dollars when it was pretty clear that these firms were not going to succeed. And then later in the ad, they talk about how this is an even more sinister problem.
First Solar, $3 billion in taxpayer-backed loan guarantees. Now they're cutting jobs, and their stock is near all-time lows. Ecotality received $126 million in taxpayer money, lost $45 million, and currently under investigation. SunPower, more than $1 billion in loan guarantees, lost $500 million last year, laying off workers.
And, of course, the ad started with the reference to Solyndra and $535 million of taxpayer money being wasted on a firm that had all sorts of red flags going back into the Bush administration. Then the ad tells us why all this happened anyway.
More than $16 billion have gone to companies like Solyndra that are linked to big Obama and Democrat donors. The inspector general said contracts were steered to friends and family. Obama is giving taxpayer money to big donors and then watching them lose it. Good for them. Bad for us.
Pretty devastating there, Dan. Pretty effective.
Just because a avenue of counterattack, I'm thinking in terms of generals today because we had this poll on the homepage yesterday about who the best general was in American history. But I'll use this analogy. Just because the best path of counterattack is an obvious one doesn't mean that it's not devastating. I think that political types all around Washington probably had office pools going for when the Romney campaign would do what they're calling public equity attacks, which I think is a obvious but devastating coinage. I agree with you. I think the ad's effective. I'm dubious about the music choice and some of the production values, but the ad's really effective, and it's an obvious but a devastating counterattack. And the Romney campaign's going to be setting up this opposition. You don't like my experience at Bain. You're suspicious about private equity. Well, here's the alternative: public equity, which worked better. And I think he's got a pretty powerful case there.
Well stated. It's an idea that can get a little bit complicated, but the basic facts are very simple. And I think most of all, it erodes any effort Obama has made, I think, in the State of the Union messages and elsewhere, where he's basically saying, I'm just really committed to this idea, and sometimes these ventures, these investments don't work out, but you got to press forward because I believe in it so strongly. Now it just looks to the American people for what it exactly is, and that's just political cronyism, and that's not going to fly anymore, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly.
So on to martini number two now, and the tagline to that ad, obviously you can't see it in our audio presentation here, is Obama isn't working. There's obviously kind of a play on words there because a lot of people in America aren't working as a result of Obama's policies. And now we've got one more. That is the former communications director for Newark, New Jersey, Mayor Cory Booker, who has left her job as a result of the backlash from both parties, really, to what happened last week on Meet the Press. Cory Booker saying, don't bash private equity, don't bash Bain if you want to make Mitt Romney's career and a legitimate topic of conversation, that's fine. That wasn't good enough for the Obama campaign, which claims they didn't correct Booker, but obviously the hostage tape came out later that afternoon, and then the Republicans kind of jumped on Booker 24 hours after praising him for caving into the demands of the Obama campaign, and now apparently this young lady is out as communications director, probably have had more than she wants to handle as a result of the latest week or so, and Once again, the unemployment numbers keep climbing here, Dan.
I've been on record praising Cory Booker before. I'm from New Jersey. I can count on zero hands the number of Democrats I've ever voted for. And I don't know if I would vote for Booker if he ran for national election, but I do know that he's got a dedication to his constituents there in Newark that borders on insane, and that his integrity is pretty unquestionable. So I was pretty disheartened to see just how quickly and how brutally the usual suspects on the left came after him for going off the reservation a little on this Beta Tech stuff, and for saying what, frankly, is the only sensible thing he could say about it, which is that it's a cynical and, in his words, nauseating political stunt. So I was pretty upset to see Booker, who I've said before and I'll say again, is a guy. He's basically Barack Obama if Barack Obama believed the stuff that was coming out of his mouth in 2007, you know. Booker is a non-cynical Obama, and you saw the price of not being cynical here. And, you know, as much as it sounds like concern trolling from the right, this is a real woman who, you know, she's not a Beltway insider. Ann Torres is her name. She's not a Beltway insider. She goes to work in Newark every morning. So this is a real woman who lost a real job here. And was, you know, fallout from Cory Booker getting slapped on the wrist for going off message.
Speaking of going off message, let's talk about MSNBC personality and Nation editor Chris Hayes. He's got a show, I think it's just called Up. It only airs on the weekend, so it's on MSNBC. So weekends, MSNBC, if the lockup's not on, guess Chris Hayes is on. And so he was on early Sunday morning, and had been talking, obviously, about issues related to the military in conjunction with Memorial Day. And after talking to a number of guests, he came out with what is obvious to me here, Dan, is the more he started talking here, the more trouble he realized in the moment that he was getting into. But he decided to press forward with it anyway, and then got in even more trouble.
It is, I think, very difficult to talk about the war dead and the fallen without invoking valor, without invoking the words heroes. Why do I feel so comfortable about the word hero? I feel uncomfortable about the word hero because it seems to me that it is so rhetorically proximate to justifications for more war.
Don't you hate rhetorically proximate justifications for war?
You know, I want to say a couple of things here. One is that our listeners who are about my age and who went to universities in America will know that there's a very particular way that college, you know, undergraduate liberals talk. And Chris Hayes was doing an impression of it just there. But I actually want to defend him on limited ground. I think on the merits, he's absolutely wrong that it's perfectly appropriate for us to talk about an all-volunteer force of young kids who volunteered to serve their country and paid the ultimate price for doing something they believed in as heroes. I think that's totally appropriate. But I want to defend him on the limited grounds that we shouldn't be in the business of saying that you can use the troops for supporting dubious things. I mean, I think we've complained in the past, we being the conservatives, have complained in the past about, you know, the kind of token superficial I support our troops talk from the left that then masks up a anti-military agenda, whether it's bad strategies in Iraq or Afghanistan that are going to, in the short term, increase danger for our troops there, whether it's, you know, gutting defense spending. We've been quick to jump on, and I think rightly so, the left for saying, well, of course I support our troops. They're heroes. I've heard this so many times on the floors of Congress. But, and then they go on to say something that would be absolutely terrible for our troops. So I don't think we should be in the business of cutting off that kind of conversation. I just think that Hayes is wrong here on the merits.
Yeah, I think he's exactly wrong as well. And I think he probably understood that. He did later apologize for it. His apology was kind of interesting, saying that his point was to talk about the divide between people who don't have to bear the burden and those who do. And then he says his mistake was to further that divide between those who bear the burden and those who don't. Nonetheless, he just went down an area that even his own network pretty roundly slammed him for, at least the big NBC did. So hopefully he's learned, and we'll see what other craziness MSNBC offers up in the third martini in the days to come. Dan, thanks for pinch hitting. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Daniel Foster is the news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus for Radio America. As you heard earlier, Jim Garrity will be back tomorrow. Please join him and I on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.